From the 8th chapter, 23rd verse to 28th, I think. 28th, actually. So, thank you all for coming. And hopefully, with all your blessings, I'll be able to speak something worthwhile. So, we are covering the section of prayers by Queen Kunti. So the scene is that Krishna is actually getting ready to leave to Dwarka after installing. He's going in, or after installing Vidushta Maharaj as the emperor of the world. So, becoming apprehensive of missing or Krishna being absent in Hastinapur. These are beautiful prayers that Queen Kunti is offering to the Lord. So starting from verse 23, we will recite it together. Yata rishi kesha kahena devaki kamsena ruddhashitam sucharkita vimochitam chasahadhyayago O Rishikesha, master of the senses and the lord of the lords, you have released your mother Devaki, who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious king Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. So, Queen Kunti is actually here. She is glorifying how Lord Krishna is, a source of shelter for her and, of course, the other devotees. Of course, Lord Krishna's appearance, one of the reasons that he appeared was also to save Devaki and Vasudev. As you all know the story, they were imprisoned by Kamsa. And they were... Devaki was a mother of Lord Krishna, and Kunti was the aunt of Lord Krishna. And even being the mother and aunt of Lord Krishna, doesn't save you from all the tribulations of the material world. Rather, they were actually made to go through a lot in the material world. And again and again, especially with the case of Kunti and the Pandavas, there was not a time when they didn't face any danger from the material world or living in the material world. It was only, I think, after Yudhishthira Maharaj was established as the emperor of the world. Even after that, for a very short period, he ruled the entire earth, but by the time Krishna also disappeared, and after that they also gave the kingdom, and then they went toward the Himalayas actually. So throughout the life you can see actually Devaki and Vasudev, to talk first about Devaki and Vasudev, it was unbearable situation actually what they went through. A newborn child, especially for Devaki, and then ruthlessly Kamsa just snatches away the child and then trashes or smashes the child, and kills the child. It's very unbearable. It's very, very unbearable. And for Vasudev also it was unbearable because he was helpless. He was the husband, and he had to protect his wife and children, but he couldn't. He was not able to, because Kamsa was more powerful than Vasudev, and Vasudev was very diplomatic. Especially during the time when Devaki was saved, Vasudev used diplomacy to actually save Devaki. But ultimately, he resigned both of them resigned to the shelter of Krishna, and there is no way they could have sustained such unbearable situations in the material world without resigning to the shelter of Krishna. It is almost impossible to live a life going through such situations without the shelter of Krishna. And of course, they had deep conviction and faith that ultimately Krishna will come and protect us. So that was Devaki's condition. And Kunti's condition, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Kunti was shown far more favor because Lord Krishna appeared and then he immediately left Devaki and Vasudev. Of course, he went back after his childhood pastimes to his parents, but with the Pandavas and Kunti Devi, Krishna was present more because they were actually put through even more difficulties. That's what Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport. And so that is the condition in the material world. You know, the condition in the material world is, even if you are Krishna's aunt or mother, you will not be spared. Rather, you will be put through, you know, so many difficulties and tribulations. And the greatness of these devotees is how they react to such situations with faith in the Lord and taking deep shelter of, you know, the Lord Krishna's lotus feet. So tolerance and total dependence on Krishna. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that, you know, he puts his pure devotees in such dangers because in that condition of helplessness, the devotees become more attached to the Lord. The more the attachment is there for the Lord, the more success is there for the devotee. Like that. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the lectures that he gave that we should take courage, that even Kunti and Vasudeva and Devaki, they were also in danger, although they were very, very intimately connected with Krishna. So we should not be disturbed by the dangers of this material world. If we are actually Krishna conscious, we should face the danger and depend on Krishna. Avashya rakhebi Krishna vishwasa palana. This is called surrender, that I may be in danger, but Krishna, I have surrendered to Krishna, he must save me. Keep this faith. Don't be disturbed when you're in danger, because the world is such. Again, in another verse, he says, padam padam yad vipadam. But if you take shelter of Krishna, these dangers are nothing. That Kunti will say, that vimochita, vimochita, this is the next verse actually. Vimochita means release from danger. Aham, sahat maja, with my. So this is the study of Krishna. If you become Krishna conscious, a sincere servant of Krishna, don't be agitated by the dangerous condition of the material world. You simply depend on Krishna and he'll save you. So that, so tolerance and total dependence on Krishna, even in the most trying circumstance. That's what, and Queen Kunti is here thanking Krishna. You know, even though we went through so many tribulations in our life, but you saved both Devaki and Vasudev and both the Pandavas. Like that. So we'll go to the next verse. Vishan Mahagne Purush Hasat Sabhita Vasa Krishna Mride Mride Neka Mahasa Drauni Astras Chasma Hare Shatiha. My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poison cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from suffering during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought. And now you have saved us from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So now, you know, she is describing from what all the, you know, the various, I mean, this of course covers pretty much most of the events, but not all the events. All the events that they went through, all the tribulations that they went through, and how actually Krishna saved them from each and every circumstance, that all the dangers that they went through. So here it talks about the poison cake, of course all of you know. I mean, it's the incident of Bhima where Duryodhana actually poisons the cake, and Of course, you know, I'm sure most of you know the story that how Bhima actually ate the cake, but and then he fell into a slumber, and then he was pushed into the lake, and the snakes actually bit him, and the poison was actually countered by the snake's poison. Like that, and from a great fire of, you know, the house of Shalak. And then from cannibals is where actually they, after they escape from the house of Shalak, they go to a village, and then they actually take shelter under Brahmana's house, I think. And then there is one Rakshasa in that nearby forest that they have to actually, every family should actually send one sacrifice to satisfy the particular Rakshasa, and then Bhima goes in that person's place and he kills the Rakshasa. And from the vicious assembly is, of course, the dice. And then how Draupadi was actually dishonored. And from suffering during our exile, there were many sufferings during their exile, and one was there were many tests. One was Durvasa Muni's test in the forest, and then Hidimba, Prabhupada writes about Hidimba Rakshasa, how Bhima had to fight with him and Krishna saved him. And then, of course, from the battle. And even after going through all these things, you know, ultimately they had to fight the Kurukshetra war, where there were so many generals. And in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Prabhupada writes that, you know, we are in one verse that the Kauravas are protected by the strong strength of Bhishma, while by the limited strength of Bhima, he's protecting the Pandavas. So it was, I mean, all these many, many, many dangers that they encountered and how they came out successfully was because of Krishna's mercy. And to their credit, they were always completely depending on Krishna and taking shelter of Krishna in each and every situation. They didn't complain, oh, why one problem after another is coming in our lives? Why don't you give us a break? But rather, I mean, they were, you know, completely accepting what was coming to them. And it was not that they made a mistake, and many of the situations they were in it was forced upon them. Rather than, it didn't come out of some of the situations, maybe you can say, and Mahabharata is very, you know, without, I'm not very expert in Mahabharata, but some of the situations you can say maybe Yudhishthira made a mistake, but you can say many of the situations, it was forced upon them. The Kurukshetra battle, everything was forced upon them. I mean, it was not that they were hankering for a battle, but still there was no complaint. But in our cases, it's generally we do some blunder and then the reactions come for our blunder. So we cannot pinpoint anybody else or any situation. But in Pandava's case, you know, that's what Bhishma also says, you know. He says, the head of, you know, the son of the most religious person is Yudhishthira. And he is so well-versed and he's so religious. And you Pandavas are, you know, so righteous and following the Brahmanas and protecting the cows. And he says, but there is no way people can understand why you went through so many difficulties or why Krishna put you through so many difficulties. Right? And nobody can understand the plan of the Lord. So, but still, you know, the amazing thing is how they actually really stayed together and took shelter of Krishna. Not once did they complain, oh, why are we going through so many problems? And even after one of the most, you know, unbearable things of what happened in the Vicious Assembly, again, think about the situation. I mean, Draupadi was being dishonored and the Pandavas were just totally helpless. So, I mean, mostly because Yudhishthira Maharaj told them, you know, I mean, he he was Dharmaraj, so he didn't allow any of them to react in an aggressive way. But in that condition of despair, still, that is a challenge actually. In the condition of that condition of despair, you know, where does our shelter go? Does it make us depressed? Does it make us lose faith, or does it make us angry? Does it make us depend on our own abilities? So where does our shelter go? So that is the greatness of the Pandavas, is that they kept, you know, the shelter of Krishna as the core essence, and the rest of the things followed automatically. So Srila Prabhupada writes here that we should not be afraid, because this place is dangerous. We should expect always danger. But if you are faithful to Krishna, if you simply, expect help from Krishna, then Krishna will save you. These are the example by the fight of Mahabharata. You know, so at the present moment, people are becoming implicated with Maya more and more, because foolishly they are thinking that I am now very comfortable. I've got this skyscraper building, I've got so much bank balance, I've got so nice wife, so I'm comfortable. They are thinking like that. They do not know that it is not comfortable life, it is dangerous life, because you have to change your body. Why don't you remember that? Because as soon as death will take place next moment. So that is another thing actually. You know, we generally become, you know, we like comfortable situation. You know, we like to have a very peaceful life, you know, comfortable situation. And in that comfortable situation, actually, we tend to bank on things that are actually false shelters. So there are things, the temporary things that can make us falsely secure. Like, for example, you know, I have got so much in bank balance, and I have got this skyscraper building. Of course, most of us don't have skyscraper building, and most of us are in mortgage actually. That actually keeps us on the edge, you know. That keeps us on the edge. It doesn't make us feel very secure. But these are the things, in fact, that's the next verse, also leading to the next verse, that these are the things that can make us very feel in a comfortable zone. That if I am, but that is actually false shelter, because it is temporary in nature and it can be taken away at any time. So how do we put us? We had to always. So that is tapasya. That is what Lord Rasadeva's teachings also to his sons are, that you have to voluntarily accept tapasya, penances. You cannot be just easygoing life and spiritual advancement cannot go together actually. So, and the material nature itself is designed in such a way that easygoing life cannot happen for long. It cannot happen for long. So that is Krishna's mercy. So a devotee actually, when he sees the dangers, so he takes it as a mercy of Krishna. He welcomes, because it's an opportunity to get out of the comfort zone. And another way to, I was thinking, another way to get out of the comfort zone is when you try to please Guru and Krishna. So when you really take, when you really understand what's the mood of your Guru and try to apply it in our life, then there is always opportunity to push the envelope and voluntarily accept tapasya. So when we do it as a service to Guru, then there is opportunity. There will be opportunities when we open our heart in such a way and sincerely accept Guru's instruction. Then there are opportunities where we will be forced to get out of our material complacency. So that is one way we, and of course constant hearing and chanting also helps us to get out of the complacency. And another thing I noticed was how these devotees reacted when they were in great danger. Actually, I can talk about myself. No, my position is, you know, more dangerous than these devotees' position, these Mahatmas or like the Pandavas. Why? Because one is the material danger which is coming upon us, which is inevitable. The other one is our attitude. So these devotees were firm and fixed. You know, they had firm faith in Krishna, and they were able to take shelter of Krishna. When such a dangerous situation came or befell upon them, they had the inner strength, they had the right attitude of how to face the situation. So in that way, the external, once you have the conviction inside and deep faith inside that my only shelter is Krishna, and then whatever falls upon me, I'm just going to take shelter of Krishna. If that is our deep conviction and faith, then actually the external material dangers are nothing. Because the material danger, the material uncomfort, the uncomfortable situations will present itself because of the material world, and things will fall. But the real protection comes from the deep conviction of, taking shelter of Krishna at every moment and every situation. So once we have that, we are totally protected. But, and Pandavas had that actually. So in one sense, they were, externally so many things were happening, but internally they were totally fixed because they had deep faith in Krishna's mercy and Krishna's protection. And of course, that is one of the symptoms of the surrender is, that Krishna, you will completely protect me. Whatever may come, but you will completely protect me. But I was thinking, my situation is even more dangerous. Even though maybe I will never face such intense tribulations in my life, but my internal attitude towards how I'm going to react when such or even seemingly less kind of tribulations fall upon me is appalling, because I don't have the right kind of attitude to take shelter of Krishna, to really use that tribulation to become more attached to Krishna. So in one sense, our situation is more precarious unless we have that attitude to take shelter of Krishna in such tribulations. We are in a more precarious situation, because that will only further our cycle. Our cycle in this cycle of birth and death. Because if some tribulations come upon our life and we don't take shelter of, our shelter is not Krishna, then our shelter is something else. Our shelter is our control, or our opulence, or our weakness, or there are so many other things that actually substitute for the shelter of Krishna. So we have to take shelter somewhere. That's a given thing. If we don't have the right attitude, or we don't have the faith to take shelter of Krishna, then our shelter will go somewhere else. So for a materialist, it can go to, drugs, this thing, or drinking, or alcoholism, so many things. For devotees, maybe we will not do in such a gross way, but we may lose faith internally, or we may become abusive. So many things can happen actually. So in the situation of despair, where is our shelter? That's something at least I have to work on, instead of depending on my own strength and so that's one thing I was thinking. And another point I was thinking is also, there is no room for complacency. Once you're about 30, 35 years old, you're in for, you know, we, I mean, the best part of the life is over. Childhood, you know, we have played foolishly, and we have been carefree, and no worries. And then come to you, there is so much of energy. And then bachelorhood is again, it's, you know, a lot of independence. And so, and then marriage, I mean, for the first few years, seems to be fun. And then kids, and then slowly, you know, life, it's not going to be easy after this. The responsibility has increased. I mean, that's what I'm just talking. I'm just talking from my experience, actually. And I mean, it's not going to be easy after this, actually, to keep up the demands of the family and to keep up with the demands of the child and to be Krishna conscious, to keep up with the demands of the professional world, and it's, and we, and as do, I mean, we cannot be irresponsible, so that's not a choice. We have already gotten ourselves into, so we have, there's just one direction, actually. And as time goes by, you know, we will become old, our capacity will reduce, our intelligence, our faculties will fail. So all these things are going to come. You know, it's not going to be an easy ride after this. So, again, where is our shelter going to be? And when death comes, which is the inevitable calamity everybody has to face, and at that time all these other things are not going to aid us. So where is our shelter? I mean, at that time there is no other shelter. So either you practice your whole life taking shelter of Krishna and finally take shelter of Krishna and successfully take shelter of Krishna at the time of death, or you fail and again come back and again try to learn all the lessons and try to take shelter of Krishna. So, reading through this whole set of verses, that was just one point which struck me again and again, is where is my shelter going to be? Am I training myself to take shelter of Krishna in all circumstance? Or I'm, you know, or my shelter is in so many different things, actually, of life. And that's what the next verse, actually, it's another beautiful verse. And she says, you cannot take shelter of the holy name, forget it. If you don't have the feeling of dependence on Krishna or on faith in Krishna, you cannot take shelter of the holy name. That's the next verse, actually. Prabhupada continues that, therefore, there is always dangerous. To enjoy in this material world is dangerous because we are creating the next life very abominable. That the only escape is, that will be explained by Queen Kunti in the next verse, that they were in danger, but they were simply thinking of Krishna. Krishna, we have no other shelter. This position should be taken. We are always in danger. We should always think of the lotus feet of Krishna. Then we are safe. Otherwise, it's very dangerous, even Kunti and others. So we have to... urgency. I mean, Prabhupada was, you know, stressing so much on urgency, but somehow in my life, I never see urgency unless, again, it's the same mentality, you know, getting into comfort zone, everything is going on okay. But then life is like a landmine, you know, you're walking in an area of landmine, filled with mines. You never know next step, it will blow up, and then you will see this huge problem coming before you. And in fact, the next verse actually Prabhupada, beautifully explains. Actually, that's a sign of piety. He says, in that moment when you face up with such a tribulation, the sign of piety is that person turns to Krishna. If we have lived our life, you know, with full of misdeeds, or you know, from our past karma with full of misdeeds, that cannot easily happen. The sign of piety is that you take shelter of Krishna immediately when that tribulation happens. You know, you take shelter of Krishna. But of course, I mean, some examples of Prahlad Maharaj, you know, how each and every tribulation, I mean, he was not even thinking about saving himself, or so surrendered actually. They were trying to push him from a hill. I mean, he was not running away here and there trying to save himself, but just thinking about Krishna and meditating on Krishna. And then they just pushed him, and then he was just praying, thinking about Krishna, and then Krishna caught him. And similarly in fire, I mean, unbelievable amount of faith. I mean, that's like unbelievable amount of faith actually that one should have if they have to act on a platform. And that's what I was thinking. I mean, from the faith comes simplicity. From deep faith comes simplicity actually. And no wonder, you know, I'm so complicated. And you can understand this by Gopas actually, the example of Gopas actually. They were all actually going, and Agasura had his mouth wide open. And they were all actually entering, and they were actually walking on the tongue, and they had a sense that there is something problem here. It's not just a cave, because there was so much of bad smell coming out of Agasura's mouth. And they were all discussing among themselves, I mean, should we enter or should we not enter? I mean, it doesn't look like a cave or a safe place to play. But ultimately they said, whatever, I mean, Krishna is anyway standing there, so let's go. You know, and that's deep faith, and that's simplicity actually. That's simplicity. And I think that simplicity comes from the deep faith. I mean, they didn't have a big ishtagoshti there and then said, what for sure, but you know, Krishna is there, let's just walk in. I mean, even if it's dangerous, even if it's Agasura, Krishna will save us. You know, what's the big deal about it? So they just walked in. And of course, Krishna, you know, himself, I mean, it's a very beautiful pastime. Krishna himself gets bewildered for a second because of his love for his friends. He becomes full of anxiety for a moment, and then, you know, he comes back to his, I mean, that's his different potency is acting upon him. There's a yoga maya potency like that. But, that should be our aspiration. I mean, when will I have such deep faith? When will I can be simple like that, depending completely on Krishna like that? So, but the Pandavas are showing, and via this prayers of Queen Kunti, we are able to experience, you know, this deep, wonderful faith they had for the Lord actually. Let's go to the next verse. Vipadasantu Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yashya Apunar Bhava Darshanam. So I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and death. It's again unbelievable prayer. From a, you know, neophyte devotee's standpoint, this is like, wow, it's like, you know, asking for calamities again and again. It's so in our thinking, try to avoid calamities. We try to adjust our situations such that the calamities won't affect us. But inevitably, the material nature, you know, by Krishna's mercy, it's filled with calamities. The inevitable calamity being death. But here, so Queen Kunti is actually giving two options. And she is choosing one option over the another. She is basically the so Bhurijana Prabhu comments that actually Krishna's association is so sweet. Krishna's presence is so is so attractive. that actually Queen Kunti is praying that let material calamities come again and again so that I can have your association. Because whenever material calamities were there, you were there with us. So the situation is Krishna is leaving now, all of them, because he has now secured the throne of Hastinapur and has installed Yudhishthira as the king of the whole world. So now Krishna is leaving. So now she has to, I mean, she is basically weighing life without Krishna, which will be peaceful, because now there are no enemies, there are nobody to challenge, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is the king of the whole world. So it's a very peaceful, it's a very happy, opulent material life, but bereft of association of Krishna on one hand. On the other hand, all this while they were facing full of calamities, but they had association of Krishna. So now Krishna is leaving them, giving them the option of having a very peaceful life, but bereft of the association of Krishna. So Queen Kunti is saying, I don't want such a life. I don't want a peaceful life which is bereft of your association. I want a life, let calamities come again and again. I want a life which actually gives me the opportunity to associate with you. So that is, that is the beauty of the association of the Lord. It surpasses the need to be free from anxiety. It surpasses the need to be peaceful. It surpasses the need to be having a very comfortable material life. That is the power of the attachment to the Lord. That is the power of love, that if it is awakened in our heart for the Lord. And of course, she also says, for seeing you means that you will no longer see the repeated birth and death. Like that. So material life means dissatisfaction, which means that calamities will come in our lives. And the real challenge is to transform these calamities into source of freedom. And I think this is exactly how at least our intelligence can be trained in this way, even if we... And so how can we transform calamities in the social realm is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that the pious actually turn to the Lord. The impious don't turn to the Lord in such circumstances. And he also writes in the purport that it helps us to overcome the ocean of nescience, which is the material world. Actually, by remembering the Lord over and over again, by taking shelter of the Lord, we actually can overcome this material world of nations. And of course, it continues that the spirit soul is actually transcendent to the material calamities. Actually, it's just dreaming, a tiger appearing in a dream. Just dreaming that the situation is, if a tiger comes and chases in a dream, and then he says, so similarly, is more in terms of jnana. But ultimately, we will have the satisfaction when we take complete shelter of the Lord. And that is when we will feel completely secure in the lotus feet of the Lord by chanting His holy name. So calamities are welcome. So how does a devotee take these calamities? He welcomes such calamities for the opportunity to remember the Lord. Of course, I'm just speaking, but I don't know how will I react if things, So suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortune, one should make progress in spiritual life. This is again how a devotee behaves, is that he doesn't lose faith, but rather suffering through all different miseries, he actually tries to advance spiritually. And then true devotee hold on to Krishna more tightly with every difficulty. That is again a sign of a faithful devotee. And Prabhupada writes that Tam Siddhikshvesha Bharata. In one sense, Krishna told Arjuna, you know, tolerate the difficulties. So that's one level of trying to tolerate difficult situations and trying to advance spiritually. And the other mode that devotee has is tatyenu kampam sumikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. So all kind of tribulations. So the devotee thinks that actually I am in due for much more tribulations, but Krishna actually only gives a token of what I'm supposed to suffer. So he humbly accepts it and then continues to praise the Lord. So Lord Brahma says that such a person actually has a right. It's like birthright. You know, he actually gets the right to enter the kingdom of God. And another perspective is, you know, what is the lesson that I'm trying to learn from this? What is Krishna trying to tell me in this dangerous condition or in this calamity, like that? Of course, it doesn't have to be so actually I think I'll cover that. Krishna consciousness, yeah, I think I'll cover the in fact in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yudhishthira Maharaj actually, there is a discussion. So Sukadeva Goswami actually paraphrases the discussion between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj asks Krishna, I mean, how is that we are your devotees? But you make us go through all these different situations. And, you know, why is that so? I mean, if anybody hears this, that we were your devotees and we went through all these things, how will they get inspired? So Lord Krishna says, actually, it's my great mercy. It is my great mercy. I show my, I have the verse in the appendix, but he says that, I'm just paraphrasing, says that I show my great mercy by actually taking away everything. So when I really want to favor somebody, I take away everything from them. so that nobody takes care of them, their relatives or the family. Nobody takes care of them, but rather they have to come, you know, only to my refuge. In fact, Prabhupada said, actually, I was tested twice. He said, once Krishna took everything away from me. The second time, Krishna gave me everything. There is possibility of losing faith in both ways. When things are taken away from us, or Krishna, then we may get bewildered actually, and lose faith. And when too many things come, we get bewildered. That will be actually, Queen Kunti will address the next verse actually. So, but a devotee actually, advanced devotee actually, in both the scenarios, he is not bewildered, but rather he keeps, you know, shelter exclusively with Krishna, Krishna Eka Sharanam. Of the 25 qualities of a devotee, the most prominent quality according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Krishna Eka Sharanam, the shelter of Krishna. And all other qualities will automatically come with that one quality, is Krishna Eka Sharanam. So any situation, these verses talk about the calamity portion of the other side of things, but the next verse will talk about the opulent side of the things, how one can actually easily become bewildered and take shelter of other things other than Krishna, the material opulences. In fact, there was another. That's how Mahabhagavats act actually. Prabhupada, that they take every situation, they try to see what Krishna's message is in this for me. You know, what is Krishna trying to teach me in this situation? Like that. Of course, it doesn't have to be very drastic. In fact, in the same verse, in the purport, I think by either by Srila Prabhupada or his disciples. It was at the end of 10th canto. So, in the purport, the devotees have written that actually for devotees there is no karmic reaction. For very advanced devotees, actually they don't have karma because they are eternal associates of the Lord. They are actually put into different situations so that they can set an example for the whole world. But for neophyte devotees, actually they are not under the karmic pattern. They are under the influence of... So Krishna actually judges and gives, you know, the respective happiness and distress so that the devotee can become attached to him or get quickly purified and come to him, actually. And one very interesting point I found was that and when Krishna delivers such distress and happiness for the, you know, for a particular neophyte devotee, even though he may be going in a distressful condition, or as soon as he learns what he has to learn, the situations go away, and there is not even a trace of vasana of that suffering or the happiness within the devotee's heart. But when a karmic suffering or happiness happens, there is always even if one handles very well, there is always a tinge of mark that's left in the person's mind or heart because of the situation, because of the different situation. But when Krishna actually plays it on a devotee, and when he learns what has to be learned, then the situation goes away also, and the residue of that experience also goes away. It's not that the devotee is feeling that and that. It's a very, very important point, actually, that that also goes away. And of course, we can make it easy upon ourselves if we are sensitive to Krishna. And if we are Krishna conscious, then Krishna doesn't have to make us go through a lot to learn. It's like increasing the volume. I mean, my previous manager was an impersonalist, but she had some very interesting concepts. She said, in an impersonal way, she said, the universe actually tries to teach us something, but when we refuse to learn, it increases its volume. So, I mean, for devotees, it's Krishna, right? I mean, so if we are Krishna conscious or really sensitive to Krishna or really connected to Krishna, then it's easy for us to know what Krishna wants out of us. Otherwise, you know, to make us learn, then Krishna has to really make the situation so worse, then only we will wake up to learning from the situation. It doesn't have to be that worse. It doesn't have to be. So for devotees, it's actually Krishna who is controlling the distress and happiness conditions of life, so that the devotees can mature in their devotional service. So here is, let me just read one section, because I am in a pressure condition because it's already 10:30. We should welcome such danger and pray to Krishna. What is the prayer? Tatenukam pam shushamiksham mana. My dear Lord, it is your great mercy that I am put into this dangerous situation. That is the viewpoint of a devotee. He doesn't take the danger as danger. So don't think that because I have become a devotee, there will be no danger, no suffering. Prahlad Maharaj suffered so much. The Pandavas suffered so much. Haridas Thakur suffered so much. But we should not be disturbed by those sufferings. We must have firm faith, firm conviction. Krishna is there. He will give me protection. Like that. So Janma Ishwarya Shudra Shri Bir Aida Maha Puman Naiva Harti Tuam Akin Chanago. My Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. one who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So material opulence, again it's a, so Prabhupada, I mean very beautiful purport, each and every sentence, if we follow one sentence to the perfection, I think that will be successful. So generally these are the material opulences, so Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shribir. Janma, high birth, you know, Janma, Aishwarya is a great opulence, born into aristocratic family, Shruta, Shribir, and learned. And high parentage, I think.
Fourth beauty, one.
Bodily beauty. So these are the, of course, I mean, we can further classify into many more subcategories from these things, but these are the different opulences a person can have. And when they actually get intoxicated by these opulences, one generally becomes puffed up. I mean, it can be anything in our devotee. I mean, it can be a position, it can be how much I am doing, or it can be so many different things. So we can translate to each and every one of our condition what exactly relates to us. So we can be artificial, I am handling so many things, or I am preaching to so many people, or I am so close to my Guru Maharaj. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be close to Guru Maharaj, but being puffed up with that is again a downside of it, actually. And I'm so beautiful. People are going gaga over me, and then I'm wealthy, I'm opulent, you know. So all these are actually makes one intoxicated and artificially puffed up. So the result of being artificially puffed up is that I don't need any shelter. So the resultant, even if one chants 16 rounds, because he does it as a matter of duty, I mean, which is certainly elevated, and who does it as a matter of, you know, strict, following a strict vow, but it would not have desired effect. I mean, it will have some effect, but will not have desired effect, because the Harinam cannot bestow his mercy to somebody who is not hankering for it. And that's why Queen Kunti says that, she says, they cannot call your name with feeling. I mean, she says, they cannot approach you. They cannot approach you easily. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that a person who is materially puffed up, who has these false shelters, and again it's false because it's temporary, again who has these false security and shelters, they cannot feelingly call out the holy name of the Lord. I've given this example before, but if you want to receive water in a glass, you have to keep the glass lower than the jug which is pouring the water. If you keep the glass above the jug can never receive water. So similarly, a helpless person, actually who has, when I say helpless person, a person who actually doesn't depend on these false shelter can easily actually take shelter of Krishna through his holy name. So that's, and Prabhupada writes that actually chanting, even if you chant once, actually it can destroy all the sins that you can ever commit. And Prabhupada said that's not an exaggeration. The statement is true. But there is actually a quality to that utterance. That's what makes a difference. So why we are chanting for so many, you know, years and so many rounds, and but still there is no because of the quality of the utterance, all is what actually gives, that is, the quality of utterance is what gives us freedom from all those sinful reactions. So it is, Prabhupada says, the quality of the utterance that actually makes the difference. And so that's what he says. Akinchana means a person who has nothing. Or a person can have everything but still be akinchana, in the sense that internally he can be totally detached, or internally he can be totally... So when, how one gets materially puffed up? When he thinks that it's mine. I possess this. I am the doer. I am the, I am the cause of this. So when he has the mentality of trying to possess something, that's when he gets puffed up. So the detachment in the heart, or akinchana, a person who actually doesn't have anything to his name, actually he can call out the shelter of the, I mean, he can call out to Krishna, quality of that reliance. And so the point is, material opulence itself is not bad, but if you get intoxicated by it, then it will not help us in the advancement in a spiritual path. It will pull us down, actually. Yeah, that's what Prabhupada writes. In another place it is said, we are thinking very secure. I have got a nice body, stout and strong. I take daily exercise in the morning. I keep myself fit. And then there is another verse, Deha Kalatradi. I have a good wife. Saina means Atma Saina Su. We are thinking, I am in family life, I am happy, I am very secure. I got my good wife, I got my good children, so many things. I got good back. So I am secure. So Shastra says, I was forgetting. And then Deha means body, and Aptya means children. Kalatra means wife. Just like when a king fights, he has got some soldiers. So that was actually Deha Kalatra. It's in the second canto. It says that a person who is materially, I'm just paraphrasing it, a person who is materially involved, he thinks that his family, home, wife, children, all of them will, he is basically completely dependent on them. In the sense, his complete shelter is, his material opulences, basically. But what are they called? They are called Atma Shaineshu. So he thinks that these are my soldiers. When I'm old, they'll protect me. And when I'm, so all these different opulences. But then, Prabhupada writes in the purport that these are fallible soldiers. These are actually fallible soldiers. They cannot protect us from ultimate, they cannot protect us from rebirth. They cannot protect us from death. So these are all fallible soldiers. So Prabhupada then, he writes actually, that I was also thinking like that. No, if I go out of my home, what will I do? During his, because of my mercy of my guru, he actually forced me to take sannyas. So he writes like that in a position of humility. That I was also very afraid to go out of my home. Oh, what will happen to me? Who will take care of me? I'll be old. What will my children do? Or my son is there to help me out like that. But then he says that Bhakti Sadhana Sarasvati actually came in my dream and he forced me to take sannyas. And that is his mercy. And then, and this is something we already discussed about that Yashyaham Anugrinami Harishe Tadhanam Sanai. So this is, again, generally we take shelter of our intelligence, money, physical beauty and material opulence. But all these things will fail us at some point. And at that, anyway, we will not have all these things. So the only thing that will be available to us at death is the holy name, is Krishna. And the gateway to Namashreya, or the taking shelter of the holy name, is humility. The gateway to that is humility. And humility means what? To understand that we are eternal servants of Krishna, and especially insignificant servants of Krishna. And that is the humility. So when we, in that mood, chant the holy name of the Lord, then we will be able to reap the benefits of, or take complete shelter of the holy name. And that is actually the, to act steadily on the platform is the stage of Nishtha. and to not act steadily is a platform, still in the platform of Anarthamurti. And of course, there are two sides of the same, two things which will avoid us in true humility is false ego and low self-esteem. So false ego is, it will make us think, even there is false ego while chanting, actually. Chanting, I am doing the 16 rounds, and because of this act, I will accomplish bhakti. That can never give us bhakti because it's acted from a platform of false ego. I am doing the 16 rounds, and because of me doing the 16 rounds, there is again ahankara vimudatma karta hai, false ego thinks himself to be the doer of the activities. Again, if we think that if some devotional qualities or some devotional feelings are coming in our heart, and if we think that we are doing it because of our efforts, again, it will destroy the devotional creeper. And similarly, low self-esteem. Again, that's not humility. Low self-esteem means we think about us a lot. That's low self-esteem. We can ponder upon our failures, but we have to quickly move to taking shelter of the holy name in the case of helplessness. So there is a difference between low self-esteem and humility. Humility means taking shelter of the holy name, understanding our shortcomings and that abilities will fail at some point. All these material appliances will fail at some point, either now or at some point. So anyway, the two more verses, maybe I'll just, we can just read the verses. Namo kinchana vittaya nivrita gunavrittaye Atma Rama Shanta Kaivalya Pataye Namaha. My obeisances are unto you who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions on the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and the master of the monists. Anyway, these are some of the salient points from the purport. So Prabhupada here, devotees actually renounce material world for the tangible spiritual value. And he gives the example of Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Goswami. Actually how they renounced the material opulence for some spiritual value. And to set an example, actually Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually these advanced devotees were they didn't have to be so renounced, because they were internally so fixed. Even if they are living in opulence, they would have used it, completely employed it in Krishna's service. But to set an example, they actually renounced completely, so that devotees, they set an example for the new faith devotees that such renunciation is important. So that was one striking point that was there in the purport. And of course there are many other points, but it's a very big purport. It's a bigger purport, but you can go through it actually. So Nivritta Gunavritti, it's a sentence in the verse. So the Lord and his devotees are beyond the hankering of the material enjoyment produced out of the interaction of the three modes of material nature. So that's what Queen Kunti prays. The last verse. Manyetvam khalam ishana anajinidhanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yanvikatam. My Lord, I consider your lordships to be eternal time, supreme controller without beginning and end, an all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissension between living beings are due to social intercourse. So basically, Queen Kunti here, as she absolves Krishna, that from an external viewer's point of view, Krishna may look like he was favoring the Pandavas, and he was, not against the Kauravas. But here, Queen Kunti prays that you are equal to everyone. And then Prabhupada writes in the purport that everybody is suffering or enjoying according to his own destiny, and everybody is actually. The misuse of freedom or the free will is a cause of suffering, and devotees generally don't misuse the freedom. And Krishna as a witness, as Paramatma, and he also interchangeably uses Paramatma and Kala. And the Lord has no beginning and end. In the verse it mentions he has no beginning and end, so he is also known as Kala. So the Lord as Paramatma, he actually witnesses all these things, but he only gives a he gives the person the freedom that he deserves, and punishes whenever the freedom is misused like that. Right, and she also makes sure that Krishna, you are not the cause of dissension between different living entities. They just reap their own benefit. So the dissensions are caused by social intercourse, I mean, not by you. So the dissension, we reap the benefits of our own actions as reactions, and which is actually awarded by the Supreme Lord. And of course, we all know how devotees take and how actually devotees react to such situations, or should react. So it's pretty much what I have. Thank you. Hare Krishna. What is that? Yeah, sure. This is the verse, and this is from the purport actually. Yeah.
So you said that for the devotees there is no reaction even though they are put in different situations. But is it
no for what kind of devotees, advanced or neophyte?
For the advanced devotees, and also you said that for the neophyte devotees also.
It's not karmic reaction, but it's Krishna's. That's what it says here. It's Krishna's. It's the happiness and distress generated from the Supreme Lord's desire. It's generated by. I mean, it's sanctioned by the Supreme Lord. He's taking care of it personally.
So, how do we understand in some cases, I don't remember exactly the name of the king who becomes a lizard king.
I mean, King Indrajumna, so many cases. So many cases, right? King Indrajumna.
Yeah, so, that offense, for that offense, he has to stay for thousands of years.
That's why Bhishma says we cannot understand. You know why? Nobody can speculate what the Pandavas went through, for that matter. I mean, they're also eternal associates of the Lord. So nobody can understand the Lord's plan, but it's between the Lord and the devotee, and that particular devotee actually. I mean, we can speculate saying that, but the Lord delivered actually. The Lord delivered the lizard. I mean, he killed him or he, right? In Krishna's pastime, the Lord actually delivered the lizard. And same.
So in that question, King Indra also donated cows to Vaishnavas apart from his pious activities.
Right.
And the cows that he donated to Vaishnavas benefited him in terms of Krishna coming in.
No, and he made the choice. He made the choice to suffer first. He made the choice before Yamaraj.
But in the whole process, at the end of it, Krishna came and rescued him because of the council also donated to Vaishnavas.
Right. And I think he was a devotee also. He was a devotee also. And same case with King Indradumna also. He was an elephant, Gajendra. Right? And Vritrasura, he was Chitraketu. And he was Vritrasura. So, I mean, one thing, faith means whatever situation I am, the Lord is actually doing it for benefit of my devotion to Him. That is faith actually. So it can go any path actually. It can go from, Chitraketu became a Rakshasa, Indrama became an elephant, Bhadra Maharaj went, he became the king, Prad Maharaj became the king. So, each and everybody's situations are different, but once you put faith in the Lord, and the devotee's position is, you know, whatever, you know, situations come, I'll not leave you. As long as that is your motive, you'll be saved. Somehow, you'll be saved. So, we should try to fix in the moon that, oh Krishna, I will not leave your lotus feet, whatever the situations may be. So that Bharat Maharaj, he also becomes a deer, and then he becomes Jara. So, there is no fixed way that only devotees will only, you know, he will only ascend to be a king, and then there is no, however Krishna wants. I mean, we have given our heart to Krishna, we have given our protection to Krishna, right? I mean, we think that we are our best protector, but we cannot even protect ourselves, what to speak of our family and all these things. So we have given it to Krishna, for Krishna to take care of us. So we just totally depend on Him, totally depend on Him, whatever He does with us. And that's what actually pretty much what Prabhupada prayed when He came on Jaladuta. He says, make me dance, and that is true shelter, actually. That is real shelter. Because Prabhupada, I mean, think about Prabhupada's situation. He was such an impoverished condition. He had no other shelter, actually, except for he didn't have so many millions of dollars in the bank account, or he didn't have so many people here. I mean, he practically had nothing. And his only source of shelter was Krishna. And he took complete shelter of Krishna. And Krishna arranged also. It's also the, you know, circumstances. But it's, and that's what we can learn from Prabhupada's life. Actually, he tried at Jhansi, he failed. Again, he tried, and he tried for so many years. I mean, for 1 or 2 years, he struggled like anything. But again, how did he really, you know, keep persevering? You know, he never let it go at any point. He kept persevering. He's praying because of Krishna consciousness. It's because of strength from Krishna. It's just impossible otherwise. It's because Krishna just kept giving him strength, but at the same time he was making him more and more helpless, and he was removing all the things. He was making him more and more helpless, and ultimately at such a stage that, you know, it was so deep, the faith and the dependence on Krishna was so deep that no external circumstance can just bewilder Prabhupada. So it was that's why and then Krishna gave him everything, millions of dollars, so many money, this thing, that thing, and that thing, and not for a single moment Prabhupada was bewildered by those things, because he had a deep conviction and faith in Krishna. It's unbelievable actually. But how do we translate all those things into our lives? That'll be the challenge. That'll be the challenge.
One of the morning programs, during the Somapad Maharaj, I think there was some discussion like that. And I was asking Maharaj a question, like, how do we understand that Prabhupada is such a great devotee of the Lord, that whatever is coming is not karma, it is some arrangement, then why did the Lord make it difficult when he was propagating Krishna consciousness? I was very new at that time. Maharaj said two, three things, but one thing in connection with what Sundar Mukhi mentioned was that this was the pastime between the Lord and His devotee. So the Lord was saying, okay, now I make it difficult for you. Now show me what you can do. And then, you know, then the devotee is reciprocating with the Lord. And like in this situation also, I'm going to serve you like this. And then again, there's another situation, situation changes, but now Krishna is like, okay, now show me what you can do. And then Prabhupada is like, okay, I'll do it like this now. And I'm going to remain committed and I'm going to continue doing. So he said that, Maharaj said that we cannot understand these things. It is, I mean, for me, he said, like, I cannot understand these things. And he said that it is It is a reciprocation. It is a pastime between the Lord and
that's what he says here also. I mean, yeah, it's the same point. Moreover, the Vaishnava who enjoys such a reciprocation of the Lord is in no danger of falling down in nations. So they actually enjoy it as a reciprocation
and
of the
Lord.
It's
an ecstasy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think Prabhupada said, these are the scriptures.
Just to add some of the, there's a short book by Sachidananda Maharaj, Art of Transformation. And towards the end of, it's a beautiful book. And towards the end, Maharaj talks a lot about this thing about when we go through difficulties in life, then how do we handle it? So there are many beautiful points, but one of the points is that Maharaj gives an example from his own life.
Mm.
He says he was in a very difficult situation.
Right. Operation.
Yeah.
It's operation.
Yeah, operation. But I think the operation is different.
Operation is more recent.